I'd like to invite you over to the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12.
Colossians 3:12 reads this way. It says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And I want to focus in on the very first part of the verse where it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God." That's the title of our message tonight, the elect of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, to call upon you and ask you to guide this service, Lord, to glorify you by your Holy Spirit, that you would guide our hearts and minds, that you would fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that we might worship you tonight, hear from you, and that you would be glorified in our worship. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, the Lord is glorified when we worship him. Do you know that? We turn aside from the world. It may not be a big group, but I don't ever think it was a very large group. I mean, there was a big church at Jerusalem, and the Lord spread that out. Amen. There was some difficulties that they experienced, and they spread out and spread the gospel. But I think it honors the Lord when two or three are gathered together in his name. How about that? Two or three are gathered together. It honors and glorifies the Lord. And so we want to zero in on what the Lord is wanting to say to us. And tonight, we want to focus in here on this, on chapter 3. And we're not going to go back there. You can if you'd like. But in the first two verses in this chapter, Paul was encouraging the believers in Christ to seek and set their affections on certain attributes that God promised to perform in us if we are risen with Christ. And that's the statement that's made. If you then be risen with Christ, these are the things that will ensue or should ensue or can ensue in the life of the believer. So the exercise tonight is simply to see what God is asking us to do, and then by faith to approach the Lord's throne in prayer and ask him to perform what he's promised in us. Amen? That's just a simple approach to the Lord. And this is the way that God builds our faith, a substantiated faith, by experience in him. So we can look at the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt. Do you think they had signs and could see that God was with them and doing things? There was a cloud by the daytime. There was it was cool in the evening, and there was a fire by night, and all different kinds of things that God was doing to let them know that he was with them. But that's not always the case. Those are the blessings that keep us faithful to the Lord, because we're reminded of what God has done and is doing for us, even during those times when we can't see him. And those are the difficult times, but if we're resting in the Lord, we'll choose to believe the truth instead of the lie that our flesh might be telling us, instead of the lie that the devil might want us to believe or the world might be putting in front of us to maybe move away from the Lord. So it's a personal testimony of grace that God is wanting to give to us. So as we look and consider at our text tonight, it'll be important to consider the progression. Notice this little progression that takes place. First of all, in verses 12 and 13, he's talking about these holy and beloved bowels of mercy. That means that love is from the innermost depths of the heart of the individual. And he says, "I want you to have this kind of mercy." And so that's not natural. Can we say that? That's not natural for us to be merciful. You look at people today. Do you see mercy today as you look around? Why don't you see mercy? Like, you always hear people say this, you ought to stand in the other person's shoes and see how they feel. And yet at the same time or in the same breath, they may not be very compassionate or understanding and for somebody that they don't adhere to. I mean, it's sad, and it's on both sides, okay? I don't want to get political here, but we have people so politically self-righteous that they don't have tolerance for any deviation from what they're standing on. You know, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I'm saying there are people that have no tolerance on both sides The conservative and the liberals or what have you, tell me I'm wrong in this, they would as soon see that person dead than to take another breath of their air. Amen? Well, first of all, it's not their air, it's our air. Amen? Right? That God has given to all of us. And so we see that's what's in the world. We see that the world doesn't have that. That ought to never be said about the child of God. On either side, listen, I've seen people on the right chew up the people on the left, and I'm thinking, well, you know, show me the difference. Show me what the difference is. And the difference really needs to be seen in the child of God. So let's look at this. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect, if you be risen with Christ. Remember back in verse 1 of chapter 3? Then he says, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. You know, that's what God desires more than anything, to be merciful. And that's on our part, to be merciful towards others when they don't deserve it. Did we deserve the mercy of God? And of course, the answer is no, we don't deserve that. But God has freely given it to us. And so kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, I want to share this specifically. The Lord is speaking to his people. He's not talking to the world. He's saying God's people ought to have this towards God's people, but the truth is God's people ought to just be filled with the mercy of God, and that's given liberally, isn't it, to everybody, to all people. By the way, that's how we win them to the Lord. If they don't see the love of God in us, there's nothing that's going to attract them in us that God can use. And so God wants us to make sure that these things are in us. So the first thing God says is that we must have these holy and beloved bowels of mercies. That's important. And by the way, mercies is plural, isn't it? So that's more than just one time. Otherwise, we can become like Peter. Lord, how many times should I forgive them? Let me impress you. Seven times, Lord? That's a godly number. Let's throw that one out there. And the Lord says 70 times seven. And Peter was scratching his head. He thought, look, fathom this thought. Was Peter saved? This is important. Was Peter saved? He thought he was impressing God, didn't he? Can you and I do that? What I mean by that is maybe in the past, maybe we thought we were doing something that was impressing God, and God's saying, no, you're just scratching at the surface, right? You ever heard somebody say this? This way, it's not putting on us, right? You ever heard somebody say this? Well, that's just not right. Now, I know you've never said that before, right? We're probably all guilty of that. But God's not wanting us to do just what's right. That's the law. Grace supersedes the law, right? So when we look at the world and we see what the world is doing, that's not our example, is it? And yet, if we're not... And by the way, what is our example? Christ is our example. Are other believers examples? Are we to follow them? Now, we should follow them as they follow Christ, if that's what they're doing. But, you know, I tell you, I am sad to see and hear throughout my whole Christian life that I would talk to people who used to serve God, and then they would tell me because of what somebody did to them. I want to be compassionate and know that I can find myself in that particular situation. I've been hurt by people who profess to know the Lord, but they didn't die for me. They didn't die for me. My loyalty, I want it to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will tell you, I am here because of the grace of God. And I will stay here and be faithful to the Lord because of the grace of God. I need the grace of God. And the Lord says, he's showing us here how to walk in that grace. See, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you need the grace of God? Without the grace of God, what are we going to be? We're not going to be anything. So if you really need the grace of God, it is important that we seek the grace of God to be in us. Right? Does that make sense? If we need the grace of God, I need God, and so God says, seek me early. Because if you forget about me, then when you need me, you're not going to find me. Isn't that what the Lord basically says? Seek me early. That's a good thing. And so as we consider this, this is this progression. The first thing that God says is to have holy and beloved bowels of mercies toward others and to ourselves. Be holy toward yourself and have the discernment of the things that we do and the things that we say to be sifted through the holiness of God, His righteousness that's been given to us. And Lord, that I might have these beloved bowels of mercies, even as Christ forgave you, it says there, so also do ye. At the bottom there of verse 13. So, even as Christ forgave you, if you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, that's unconditionally, so also do ye unconditionally. Don't hold any strings. We have a tendency to hold strings, don't we? I forgive you, but I won't trust you in that area anymore. Well, that's not the way Christ forgave us. He completely forgave us. And then I want you to see something here. Above all these, he says, and this is an important part here in verse 14. And above all these things, put on what? Charity. What is that? It's love, isn't it? Charity is love, which is the bond of perfectness. So love really hides sins, doesn't it? It doesn't point out, it's not quick to point out the errors or the flaws. Hold your place right here, and I want you to see what the Lord said about this in John chapter 15, just for a moment. John 15, and look at verse 12 with me. The Gospel of John here, but the Lord is speaking, talking to the disciples about the importance of abiding in Him. But then He says this to them in verse 12, John 15, 12. This is my commandment. So, that's Old Testament. Well, this is God's commandment. This is Jesus' commandment right here, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at that. He said, just again, as I have loved you, we are to love one another, fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the way God has loved us unconditionally. And we need God to do that. And so that needs to be our focus. We don't want to just look at this as words. And then he says this in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, what did he just command us? That we love one another. And drop down to verse 17. These things I command you that you what? That you love one another. So go back to our text in the book of Colossians. Is love important? Well, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said above all these things that were just said, he said that you put on charity, that you put on love. So that's something that we have to ask God for and to put it on. That's something that we have to seek to put it on. It's like getting dressed, right? I try not to have complicated ensembles. I try to find make sure it's easy. And then sometimes, people will go hunting for a certain pair of shoes or go hunting for this, that, and the other. And to be on time, it'd be good to do that in advance, right? So that you don't do it at the last moment. If you have an early morning appointment the night before, set out if you're going to have to go hunting for these things. And the reason why I share that is because we need this before we need it. If that makes sense. We need the love of God first thing in the morning. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to say, oh God, as this day closes, may you compel me to seek you in the morning, and that I might put on the love that you would have me to put on, that I might be the believer that you would have me to be. I don't want to be the believer that the world says it's okay. Because, it's a sad commentary for Christians to look for excuses to not do these things. Because what we don't realize is it's not doing these things that's really important. It's the experience that God brings into our lives when we seek Him with these things. Does that make sense? These are God's commandments. And here's the problem. To the natural flesh, these things are not palatable. They really aren't, because that's not our nature. Ask yourselves, how many believers do you think are diligently saying, yes, Lord, today that I might be filled with your love, with your charity? Oh, God, I don't want to walk a minute outside of your love. And that's because it's not natural to the flesh. And so we're dealing with that. But wait, even more than that, even listen, the love of God brings God, the God of that love, into our lives. So there is a fellowship, there is a personal fellowship that we get to enjoy. And sometimes we think, well, you know, that's a difficult thing, and I don't really see it over here in this Christian's life, and I don't see it there in that Christian's life. So, well, that's just not me. You ever heard somebody say something like that? That's just not me. Well, yeah, God's saving us from ourselves, isn't he? And he wants us to experience him and his grace and power in and through our lives. And then very quickly, as we move on, look at the progression. The beloved bowels of mercies, the charity of God above all these things. And then what comes next? The peace of God. Verse 15, notice, and let the peace of God, so these two things first come in, the beloved bowels of mercy and the charity of God, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And then what's the next thing? And be ye thankful. These are the things that follow with the peace of God. And then notice the next thing. We're going to have two more verses and then we're finished here. Verse 16 says this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Well, how did that happen? Well, because we sought the beloved bowels of mercies. You're not going to really step in front and get the word of God dwelling in us richly, right? Richly, if we don't have the beloved mercies of God toward one another. We fool ourselves. There are people who say, oh, yes, the word of God is dwelling in me richly, and then they don't have the love of God. That's a conflict, contrast, contradiction, right? In our lives. And so God says, this is the progression. This is how it all works and fits together. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then lastly, notice what he says here, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, we will be able to give thanks to the Father, because we'll be experiencing the Lord, God, in our lives. So as the elect of God, God says, I want you to walk basically in him, right? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things will be fulfilled. And if they're not being fulfilled, don't try harder. Call upon the Lord more. You know, say, oh God, I need you. I don't see this in my life, and I'm asking you to perform it. So when he performs it, who do we thank? Not ourselves for a better effort, but God for giving the grace that he has promised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement, the guidance that it gives to us. Lord, may we look to you and your way and not ours or what somebody else has said, but what you've said in your word. That guarantees good success. And so bless each one that's here tonight, those who are unable to be here this evening. And Lord, help us to be the light by your grace and power and the salt of the earth. Bless the prayer time to follow, and we'll thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.